I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of NFL Superfriends here on the Chase Thomas podcast from still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ. We've got three of the four NFL Superfriends. No JP Acosta this week, but we'll have JP back next week. But, you know, we get a no JP this week, but guess what? We get fellow NFL Superfriend, longtime friend of the show, Mr. Evan Swords of 49ers Hub back. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good, subbing in for JP Acosta tonight. It's great to
you're
see
not
you
subbing. You're co-host.
I know, just kidding.
You're not subbing. No, no. But also here, Jared Bailey of USA Today, Behind the Steel Curtain, and the Pump Fake, and everywhere else. Jared's all over the place. Jared, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. No, it's been a productive few days for me. Weather in Pittsburgh's been really nice. Took my dog for a walk. Yeah, it's, okay. it's been a good few days, yeah.
I'll tell you all this. I've been kind of walking on eggshells today because I was chasing my dog around at the park during lunch, and my dog decided to kind of buck up at an elderly gentleman. And I was like, kind of trying to get her to run because it's not like in a mean way, just like running up, like she gets excited. So it's just more of like she was running. I'm like, no, stranger, you don't know this. Like, let's go, because I don't put her on a leash at this dog park because she can run around. She's really good. But she went over there, and to get her to stop, I was like, hey, like to get her and said like my wife's name and get her to come home. Let's go find her. You know what I mean? Like, oh, let's go get mom. Let's go get Samantha. And I have to run in place sometimes to get her to move, because she'll like run in a dart if she thinks I'm running away from her. Like, she's just like, whoa. OK, it's all fun and games until you actually run away from me, because I'm not going to be here alone. So I do that. And it's like kind of uneven grass at this park. And I like did this weird I hit a little bit of a divot. And my ankle rolled a little bit. And I was like, oh, no. As longtime listeners of this program know,
no.
I've broken my foot in a very similar fashion the week of my wedding 2 years ago. So I didn't hear a pop this time, but it was a little terrifying. I got some PTSD. So I've been just carefully monitoring my ankle/foot for the day, because that would really, really suck. But it was just, it was not great. So getting old, man, mid-30s, your body's just breaking down, and any kind of movement. Like, I just ran, I fake ran to get my dog to turn around and run the other direction. And I still like fell into a divot in the park. And that was it.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. But before we get into our NFL stuff this week, don't forget, folks, each and every Monday night on this show, Jarrett, Evan, JP, and myself talk all things NFL. So if you're a longtime subscriber to this very show and you haven't already, please make sure you hit that pause button right now and leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or else. It's funny. You could never, like, I just can't.
It's so funny. I will literally find you.
Well, there you go. But also, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you as always. Make sure you get a thumbs up and like and subscribe, as we'll probably be at 2,000 subs here in the next week. So very excited for that, and appreciate you guys checking us out there. So make sure you like and subscribe and watch our full episodes, clips, shorts, all that good stuff on Chase Thomas Podcast on YouTube. And then email us if you have any NFL questions for us on future shows. You want to have answered by one of the four NFL super friends, you can do so by emailing us at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. But of course, if you are a new listener and this is your first time, hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast player as we talk NFL at this very time each and every week. First things first, though, on this edition of the program,
rest
Evan.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
Say it again.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
That's good. That's good.
Thanks.
Over my head. Evan, the Niners. We haven't talked Niners in a few weeks now because you haven't been on the program. So it's some Niners talk. What running back? Because you know it's going to happen, Evan. What running back are you most okay with the San Francisco 49ers drafting in the 2024 NFL draft right now?
I just, like, you know, do you want me to answer this seriously?
You can do both.
Okay. I mean, like, you know who I want, right?
Who do you want?
Frank Gore Jr.
Oh.
Why would I not?
Where is he? I haven't seen him mocked. Where has he been mocked? Do you know, Jared?
That's a dude who he'll go like round mid-round. 6 or 7 if he gets drafted at all, would be my guess.
Okay. Yeah. Very productive at college at Southern Miss. Played a lot of snaps, following his dad's footsteps, just getting a lot of snaps, a lot of carries.
Listen, man. I know people think it's like funny, haha, like drafting Frank Gore's son, which, by the way, we're all so old.
There was one this week that, I mean, I forgot who it was. Who was the most recent one I saw who popped up? Because it's easier to identify because I feel like there's way more juniors now than ever that you're just like, oh, Asante Samuel Jr., Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, they just got very uncreative with names, apparently, where everybody had to be a junior. This.
I don't like the junior. I would never do it.
I don't either.
I would never do this.
I think it's lazy.
And then we have players in this league who do senior. Your son's on the league. Why are we allowing the senior?
It didn't become like a thing, I don't think. Like, until Robert Griffin III. Then all of a sudden everybody was a Will Fuller V or something the second. Like this giant wave of guys who all of a sudden added Roman numerals to the end of their names all started with RG3.
I don't like it. Let's get it out of here.
I agree.
I do want to say though, they do have Frank Gore Jr. ranked on NFL.com like prospects, number 4.
Is he number 4?
Yeah, I mean, on NFL.com, one of the articles, whatever.
What's the list right now? Is Jalen Wright number 1?
Trey Benson. Wait, no. That's that's 2024 NFL draft pros ranking.
Benson would work, the Florida State running back. Yeah. That's not wrong.
This is MJD. Maurice Jones-Drew has Trey Benson, Will Shipley, Blake Corum, Frank Gore, Jalen Wright, Ray Davis, Bucky Irving.
Having
Bucky Irving go after Frank Gore Jr. is funny.
This is a wink NFL running back.
Running backs in this class are not good.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So do you think they ultimately, I mean, what's the earliest you would allow the Niners to draft a running back here, Evan?
Well, I think they have good running backs on the team right now. So I don't know necessarily that I think the running back position is something they really need to worry about. What I would be more worried about, what I'd be more interested in is like how they approach, say, the wide receiver position with Brandon and I getting signed. Or, well, I mean, there's different positions in general, but you're asking about the running backs. I'm really not looking for a running back at all with any of these picks. Maybe throw one at like round 5, round 6, just because it's Kyle Shanahan. But think of what he's done with undrafted free agents and 6th-round picks. Like, it's not a necessity for me. Like, don't waste it. As long as you have Christian McCaffrey, that's going to be the bulk of your touches. You know, the running back 2 can literally be anyone, right? He cares more about pass blocking than he does running. Like, that's Kyle Shanahan. He does not care about if you can run. He cares about if you can pass block. So maybe.
But isn't there
a
part of you that's like, because I was reading, this piece from Tyler Dunn, who's one of the best NFL writers. Go subscribe to Go Long TD. If you've not already, I mean, he does awesome work, and I love reading his long form stories. And one of the things he wrote about this past week was the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. But one of the things he talked about was like the Falcons doubling down at 8, and this is something that I've been saying is like a lot of Falcons fans like want Dallas Turner or they want Leitu Latu at edge. And just like, hey, you haven't had an edge guy. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's been Vic Beasley, Ray Edwards, Tack McKinley. You haven't really had a go-to edge guy since John Abraham, which is fair to be frustrated by that. But, and this was the point that he was emphasizing in the piece, and I think this kind of brings it back to the Niners, Evan, a little bit, is that like you have an opportunity to quadruple down on skill position guys. I understand you've done it 3 years in a row and like you have other needs, whether it's at edge, maybe that's at guard, maybe that's at linebacker, maybe that's at corner. But like you have Drake London, who's been really productive with mediocre quarterback play. You have Kyle Pitts, who still is finally going to be in an offensive scheme that might unlock what his ultimate potential is here with Zach Robinson. You have Bijan Robinson, who was maybe the best player in the draft last year, and we'll see what he's able to do. You just signed Kirk Cousins. Why not just go Roma Dunze? Like, why not just go Malik Nabers if he's there? Marvin Harrison if he falls. But like, is there part of you, Evan, to bring it back to the Niners, where you look at that and you go, yeah, we have Christian McCaffrey, we have Debo Samuel, but also, what if we just drafted a running back who's also hard to tackle and a pain in the butt? Like, what if we did just draft Jonathan Brooks from Texas and are just like, we're just going to continue to amplify what we're really good at and just make it this heavy rotation of just guys who are hard to tackle and just a pain in the butt? Like, I think there's nothing wrong sometimes in just leaning more into what your best skill set is, which is guys who are hard to tackle and running the football down team's throat.
My honest, real, like, no bullshit answer is that the 49ers have gone to the Super Bowl with running backs that were undrafted, and they went to the Super Bowl last year with the best running back in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They lost both times. So when it comes to the running back position, I don't care. I don't think it's a position. I think it's it's a nice to have that we have the best running back in the NFL. I think it's a very big luxury the 49ers have, especially at the cost that they got to get him. But I don't think that is what's going to win a Super Bowl. So I don't care. I think as long as you're paying Christian McCaffrey, you want to draft at least one running back so that you have that rookie contract, because it's pretty much a guarantee that as long as you don't draft them in the third round, the running back will be successful with the 49ers. So yeah, that's my honest answer. I just don't see it as a difference maker, and I would see it as a waste of resources if it was anything earlier than the sixth round.
Do you share that sentiment, Jarrett?
In terms of the 49, I mean, you have Christian McCaffrey already. They still have Eli Mitchell on contract, don't they? He was just brought in not that long. So,
but it's Jordan Mason.
What has Elijah Mitchell really done to this point?
So Elijah Mitchell was one of the most statistical productive guys until he got injured.
I was going to say 2022 was a nice year for Elijah Mitchell, was it not?
But yeah. It was. But then last year, I was like, pounding the table like, why are you playing him? He doesn't deserve snaps. And then he heard that everyone was talking shit and he started playing really well. So he actually very much deserves the respect. He earned it last year. The snaps
they
that he got.
Third guy on the roster too, don't they?
Jordan Mason.
Yes, Jordan Mason. Yes.
They also have Tyrion Davis Price from LSU, but he didn't really pan out. He actually even got some fullback snaps last year. It's really not a good look for all parties involved.
It's not like they don't use the fullback. This is one of the spots
What, guys, they drafted him in the third round.
I'll tell you what though, my take is, hey, they're going to be taking a receiver because old Brandon Ayuk's going to be in my neck of the woods sooner than later.
Hey buddy, if you want to bet on that, I would very much love that.
I mean, I'm not going to fully bank on it, but from people that I trust, I don't have source information. It's not my speed. However, Noah Strackbine, who is the Steelers reporter for Sports Illustrated, went on All Steelers Talk either today or yesterday. I watched it today, but I think it was actually yesterday's recording. And said that people within the organization that he has spoke to that he trusts said, and I quote, they would be very shocked if it doesn't happen in terms of Brandon Ayuk coming to Pittsburgh. So. And I
have they mentioned what the cost would be?
That I don't know. But in terms of what the trade market has been so far this season, I mean, you look at what Stephon Diggs went for, that second round pick. I think it would take more to get Brandon Ayuk because he is better than Stephon Diggs. But what? How much more would it be if it's a second round pick and a third round pick, and maybe a pick next year? I don't know, but from what the Steelers are saying internally, they are pretty confident that Brandon Ayuk is going to be a Steeler.
So here's what I will say: I am, without having any sources myself, I am 100% positive, 99% because I can't prove it, but I'm 99.9% positive that the Steelers sent a trade request in a package, whatever it
absolutely.
May be.
Yeah.
No. But this is just the Debo situation all over again. Of course, the Steelers want one of the best receivers in the NFL to come play with their, no offense, struggling quarterbacks, right? They really want to put Russell Wilson in a position to succeed. And if not him, Justin Fields. Absolutely. But the 49ers, like Debo Samuel, are not going to take anything less than, in my opinion, for, I think, Ayuk, you'd have to be looking at like a first round pick and a third round pick. And even then, I really don't think that's enough. I genuinely don't. Brandon Ayuk is a guy that is so good in spite of the targets he gets. He's so good in spite of Kyle Shanahan's scheme. He had one of the most productive years last year. He had one of the most receiving yards last year with the least amount of targets. Like, he's so much better than anyone can really understand in a terms of trade value. So I never once thought that Brandon Ayuk was going to get traded. It's not that I don't think it's tangible in some way, but it's the same 49ers thing over and over and over again. They don't sign their players till after the draft, but their internal guys, the guys they came in and got, the Debo Samuels, the George Kittles, the Nick Bosas, the Fred Warners, they pay their guys. And Brandon Ayuk might be the most got their guy of all those guys, right? So.
And I hear you.
So you're still pretty confident that he's staying in San Francisco, and Jared's pretty confident that he's ending up in Pittsburgh. This is interesting.
I am.
No, Jared's confident that he trusts the people that think that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you try, I would, you know what I mean? Like, I've heard things before. I'm like, well, I trust this person, but you got to understand that the 49ers are not exactly going to be out there being like, well, actually, we really don't want to take him, right? They have to go, yes, we're willing to trade him. What are you going to offer? And they can be open to trade offers, and they can listen to calls all the way up till the draft. Why wouldn't you, right? Especially during the draft when people don't have to make decisions based on what they think they can get in free agency or whatever. So like it behooves them to make everyone know, yeah, we're open to offers, but no one's going to pay what they need.
I don't know exactly what the package would be in terms to get him. Would it be the AJ Brown trade where it's a first and a third? Maybe. I do fully believe that the Steelers are very much in on this, though, in terms of being aggressive and trying to acquire Brandon Ayuk. And if it happens, I won't be surprised. I'll be very happy. But I also won't be surprised on the other side of the coin if the 49ers and Ayuk do come to terms for an extension, because, you know, like Evan said, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, and keeping him there should be a priority. At the same time, though, you look at, you know, how much money they have tied up in Debo right now. He's making, what, $28 million this year? That's a lot of money for Debo Samuel. Next year, you still got to pay, what, Charvarius Ward. Maybe go down the list of their free agents for next year. I think you eventually got to pay Hufanga if he hasn't been paid yet. So there's going to be some.
Hufanga's in his third year, so he's got a couple years left. They'll definitely do a fifth-year option on him. Sure. Actually, they can't because he wasn't drafted in the first round, right?
If he wasn't drafted in the first round, then yeah.
Yeah, he's got 40, so yeah.
So, you know, Dre Greenlaw's up next year as well. So there's going to be other guys that they got to. And look, that's kind of the burden when you have a ton of great players. You know, they've drafted well, and they've done a good job of identifying talent and whatnot, but eventually, you know, you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And it wouldn't shock me if they kind of look at this and say, all right, you know, if we can, you know, get somebody like a, you know, a Brian Thomas, or hell, if they can get, like, let's say that they acquire the 20th overall pick from the Steelers, and if this trade does happen without giving up their own first round pick, I mean, they can bundle 31 and 20 and move up and try to get a Roma Dunze. to replace Brandon Ayuk. So there's a lot of things that could go down. I won't be shocked one way or the other of what happens, whether if he ends up being a Steeler or if he stays in San Francisco. Maybe I'm just very much wearing my Homer cap right now, but if I had to bet, I'd say Brandon Ayuk, black and yellow, number 11 next season. And I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm also setting myself up to get disappointed, but that's okay. It's okay.
What I will say is this, and this is my, no one asked, my guess of what happens with this situation. They have Brock Purdy for cheap, so they're going to keep Ayuk. They're going to pay Ayuk. I think what they are going to be able to do, though, is they're going to get, next year, there will be no more Deebo Samuel. He'll either go to it.
I can agree with that.
Whatever, but I think they're going to save a lot.
Is that not a disaster, though, if you lose Ayuk and Deebo in back-to-back off seasons?
I don't know. I'm saying I don't think they're going to lose Ayuk. They're going to, that's what I'm saying. Ayuk is their wide receiver one. I think they know that they can afford everyone this year because of the, well, one, because the cap just went up, right? Teams have a much bigger total amount of money to be able to play with. They're not paying Brock Purdy anything. So I know they can pay everyone this year. It's not a big deal at all. Next year, they'll lose Deebo. You know, next year, who are we looking at in terms of like the biggest things is like, I mean, dude, their free agent tracker of 2025, you don't know a single person on there. Trey Lance. Trey Lance is a big one.
I think Charvarius Ward's on there and Dre Greenlaw.
Like Ward, yeah, but Ward is getting old, so I don't, he'll restructure for a smaller contract or he'll leave. Sure. Dre Greenlaw is the thing where I think Dre will get a nice 3-year contract. Juwan Jennings.
It is obvious. Dre Greenlaw.
Oh, he's not that old at all. I think he's like 26 or 27.
Okay, just curious.
We also don't know how he comes back from this injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should be okay, to be honest with you. But like, other than that, like free agents, you're looking at like Aaron Banks, who was a guard that really hasn't exactly worked out the way they wanted. Joshua Dobbs, 49ers legend. Like Juwan Jennings will be the big one, right? Because they signed him on a 1 year to bring him back. But like, literally, the 49ers are going to have a big clean slate after next year, after this season.
Hmm. I mean, and we'll see what they ultimately do, but they're going to go all in. So switching gears here a little bit, Jarrett, the Steelers, we talked about them briefly. Why does it look like, you wrote about this this week, why does it look like the Steelers will actually have the toughest schedule in the NFL in 2024?
Yeah, so Warren Sharp projected Pittsburgh to have the toughest schedule. Let me actually get their opponents pulled up in front of me just so I can break this down. I want to say they play the AFC West. So obviously, you know, you got to face a Kansas City. By the way, the last time Mahomes played in Pittsburgh, he threw 6 touchdown passes. So that'll be just lovely. So like, I'm not confident in that whatsoever, but you look at the rest of their schedule, obviously the division games, they play Dallas at home, Kansas City at home, the Chargers at home, Giants and Jets at home. And then their away schedule, the division opponents, and then at your Atlanta Falcons, at Denver. And if I had to bet, that's going to be the week one matchup where Russ goes back to Denver, and it's probably going to be on Monday night and I'm going to be annoyed about it. They play at Indianapolis again, at Las Vegas, at Philadelphia, at Washington. So they play the NFC East and the AFC West. And then games against the Falcons and, is there another team thrown in there? Falcons and the Colts are the other games that are not within the division. So you know, we talk about projections a lot. Like last year, Pittsburgh, I think, was scheduled to have like the fourth toughest schedule. But the way that the cookie crumbled is, okay, we didn't know that Houston was going to be that good. Joe Burrow got injured. They routinely take care of the Ravens. Like, I look at that schedule and I don't see why they can't win at least 10 games again compared to like last year. They played a third place schedule. They're playing that again this year. They have a clear and obvious upgrade at quarterback. They're going to continue fixing the offensive line. And defensively, they added a guy like Patrick Queen. They added Sean Elliott. They bring over Dante Jackson, who's an upgrade at cornerback too from what they had last year. I don't see a world, unless something goes drastically wrong and they suffer a ton of injuries, I don't see a world where they don't at least repeat the record that they had last year.
But even if I just look at it, when I'm thinking about the Steelers schedule, and I like when I saw that and I was reading your piece, I was like, to me, like at Atlanta, I mean, we'll see what that looks like with the Falcons and the Steelers, but like, and what the Falcons will really look like. But
yeah,
I just think the NFC East is going to be worse next year.
I think so.
I don't think that.
I think so too.
I don't. And I think that's part of why people are maybe thinking it might be good. I think the AFC West is going to be pretty bad. I think the Raiders and the Broncos both have potential to be bad. The Chargers, we'll see. Like, Jim Harbaugh hasn't really had a bad NFL year. Outside of, what was his first year in San Francisco, Evan? What did he go?
They went like 12-4.
They went 11-5, and they also went to the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Did he really his first year?
Was it the NFC champ? Yeah, no.
Yeah, because they played New Orleans.
No. This was 2011 playoffs was the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah, they beat New Orleans.
They got the Giants at home, right?
And then played the Giants at home.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They played the Giants. That was the year that they lost to the Giants, and then the Giants went on and beat the Patriots.
What year did you go into Atlanta and win? The Super Bowl year. Was that the Super Bowl year?
That would have been the next year, wouldn't it, with Kaepernick?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was definitely Kaepernick. Yeah. Okay. So
hold on. First and foremost, Jim Harbaugh is going to, I would be so surprised if he doesn't go in and just blow the door off. Justin Herbert is the best quarterback that Jim Harbaugh has played with since Andrew Luck. There is absolutely no argument there. Genuinely, like Justin Herbert, the only thing that's going to stop Justin Herbert is Greg Roman. And, you know, who knows? But I've given
my in-depth thoughts about that, by the way. Like, I feel like I would be sounding like a broken record if I talked about the Chargers too much more, but we'll see with them.
You have had a Chargers team that has had really, you know, very respectable pieces for the last 5 years. And they have constantly underperformed and constantly sucked and constantly dropped the ball. So anybody from those past regimes that's staying on with the Harbaugh years, that's Harbaugh's bread and butter. You look at what he did from the 2010 team that had like 8 wins. It was like they were like 8-8 or 7-9 or something like that. And then he blew, you know, or no, they were 6-10. I apologize. That's Harbaugh's stuff. He loves coming in, being the underdog, getting everyone to maximize their performance off of vibes alone, and he's going to do that with the Chargers.
In terms of, if I had to rank like the outer division opponents by difficulty, I would say Chiefs obviously are the number one most difficult team.
Bills.
Atlanta might be two to me.
The Bills.
They don't have the Bills.
They don't play the Bills.
Oh, you said out. I thought you meant out of. Sorry.
Yeah, so I think the Falcons might be too, because I think that they're going to be
really generous, man. Philadelphia is going to be tougher than Atlanta.
I'm not high on Philly, man. I'm really
I'm not high on Philly either, but I just feel like that's going to be a tougher game to win on the road.
I'll say this. I think that the Falcons will finish with a better record than the Eagles.
Ooh.
Absolutely. 100%. The Eagles got decimated in this offseason. Nobody wants to talk about it.
So I think that the Falcons will be the second hardest out of division team. You can
more than Cowboys.
Dallas will be three. Wait. We don't think the Niners.
Niners are on the schedule either,
brother. The Steelers don't play at the Bills or the 49ers. We're talking about the Steelers' opponents right now.
Yeah.
When you said, I kept thinking you were saying out of division.
Because I'm not talking about the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns.
Yeah, because they haven't.
I know. I thought you just meant like out of the division of the
Steelers. Just the teams that they play this year. But even then, Lamar Jackson's only beaten the Steelers once, and that came back in 2019 when he was facing Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
Yes. The Bengals, those are both, I think that at minimum, the Bengals beat them once. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals sweep them. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers sweep the Browns, because I think that they, defensively, they're still good, but I think that Deshaun Watson is a downgrade from what they had last year, and getting him back is actually going to hurt them.
It's funny. I think the Browns are most like the Steelers in terms of like, when I think of what the biggest problem the Steelers are going to have this year is, like the biggest thing that they could really disrupt their season is not the quality of their team, the strength schedule, or anything like that. It is the potential confusion that could happen at QB, right? Because like the Steelers are no strangers to having two bad QBs in a carousel. Like, they know how to run that. They've been doing it for a couple of years now. But I think Russell Wilson is such a huge personality. And when you have a young, a young black quarterback, after Russell Wilson is now out here going, I led the charge for black quarterbacks. Did you guys see that article, by the way?
Was it on Essence? I think it was the Essence article he did.
He was, yeah, like Russell Wilson was like, I paved the way for Patrick Mahomes and these guys.
I mean, he was, he like that group of guys, like with him, RG3 and Colin Kaepernick, like in that little era. I mean, that he's got an argument to be made there for guys like that.
Yeah, but he's also incredibly corny. So like to equate him to Patrick.
Sure, Adam, but like so he was very good for a very long time.
He's a Hall of Famer.
My point, let me just say this. My point is this, is that I do think that if Russell Wilson struggles at all and there is friction there and they do have to kind of make a decision of whether or not they need to go to the quarterback, I think Russell Wilson is so weird that it could cause such a disruption that that might be the thing to really make the Steelers struggle. Because well, Mike Tomlin's Mike Tomlin. The roster is the roster. Like, they're going to win games.
Well, the thing with that is
I think he might be on retire watch.
Yeah, if that does happen, then the Steelers should just cut him. They're only paying him $1 million. They don't have to worry about the financials of it. If he does become a distraction, that's an easy, okay, we're just going to get rid of you then.
He can be in the fine. Cam Newton zone very quickly.
I think so. But at the same time, like, my guess is right now is that Russ starts the season as a starter. I think that Justin Fields is going to be the starter by midseason. But I still think the Steelers are going to be similar to what they were last year. They're still going to be winning games because the defense is that good. I think the offense is going to be better just because naturally, like, you get an upgraded offensive coordinator, you get an upgraded quarterback. But when you have Justin Fields sitting there, and I think they're going to have a package for him where, you know, he's going to be making some plays. And they're just going to be like, okay, we have this, you know, 25-year-old guy just sitting there that we could see what we have in him. And if we decide that we want him next year, then we can give him, you know, a 1 or 2 year extension and see what we have in him. So looking at their opponents, man, like the only game that really like terrifies me is the Chiefs. They're not winning that game unless Patrick Mahomes comes down with a case of like measles and can't play. But yeah, like, I think Atlanta will be a tough game. I think Dallas is going to be a tough game. I think that they should beat the Giants. The Jets, depending on what Aaron Rodgers looks like, will be a dogfight. Bet the under for that game, I guess, because those are two really good defenses. But yeah, I see minimum 10-7, them repeating what they did last year, maybe an 11-6, and cross our fingers, maybe they finally break this drought and win a playoff game. That would be lovely. But I don't see a world where they just completely implode and can't repeat the amount of wins that they had last year.
We'll see. I think either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I also am it's going to be one of my favorite summer storylines is the Fields versus Russell Wilson battle. And if it's a true battle, if it's
I'm going to be excited, man. I cannot wait to be in Latrobe to watch that every day. It is going to be, it's going from what it was last year when I'm just driving into Latrobe knowing I have to watch Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Now I get to drive and I'm like, I get to watch Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, which, you know,
yeah,
Justin
Fields is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Used to.
Yeah, definitely.
Evan, you've talked a lot about George Kittle, and George Kittle banged up. He's getting older. Would you like to see San Francisco start prioritizing his replacement? Maybe in the draft here, maybe through trade, maybe through free agency. Is it time that the Niners get serious about life after George Kittle?
I mean, I think this offseason is a giant indicator that they have not necessarily been thinking about life after Kittle, but they're definitely thinking about trying to make George Kittle's life easier.
Hmm.
The 49ers essentially submit the tender for, was it Brock Wright from the Lions?
Yeah.
Right. And they made the attempt to get him, and it did not work. The Lions matched, which a lot of people were not expecting the Lions to do. They then go off and they signed another tight end in free agency. Nothing, you know, crazy, but like another body. They also drafted two tight ends in recent drafts. So like clearly they are trying to pair it. Now, are they just terrible at picking tight ends since George Kittle? Potentially. I tweeted today, literally, I was like, how about instead of drafting running backs in the third round, we draft Iowa tight ends. I definitely have desperately wanted the 49ers to pair George Kittle with the premium tight end. I know it's not easy, especially nowadays. But you know, I gotta say with like the Gerald Everett's, right? Like the, God, who was the other Iowa tight end that went to the Seahawks? Also Gerald Everett.
Oh, Noah Fant.
Noah Fant.
Noah Fant.
You know, You know what I mean? Like with all those like guys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys who kind of flamed out in their first team and that ended up going somewhere in free agency. Like, I was really hoping that the Niners would have, you know, that type of signing. The guys that they brought in have not been it. You know,
Cameron Latu's not a dude. I watched a lot of him in Alabama. He's not going to be now.
Charlie Warner, you know, it's crazy. Charlie Warner was supposed to be like a good blocking tight end, yet George Kittle still was the number six offensive tackle on the team. So I don't know. I feel like they've been swinging swinging an axe at this door for a long time. And I don't know that they've made any progress, but I am interested to see what they do in the draft. I think that's honestly, like, when you think about the 49ers drafting, it's very rare that there's like a big surprise outside of trading three first round picks for a quarterback that you'll never see play. But I do think there is a possibility that they take a tight end higher this year. And I would be down.
Kate Stover feels like a possibility for them. He feels like a type. I mean, he was at Ohio State, Evan. I don't know if you've like dove into the tight end tape of guys who might be. There is an Iowa tight end, but he's I think 11th. Yeah, here on boards. Eric All, 6'4", 250. There's some interesting guys here. Like Theo Johnson, I think could be a dude. He was highly regarded coming out of high school. He's a 4-star and he went to Penn State. Jared, I'm sure, is more familiar with him, but Theo was a highly sought after.
Theo Johnson, I think, is going to be really good at the NFL level. He looked really good. He was one of the best players at the Senior Bowl throughout the entire week. I think that somebody's going to draft him in the fourth or fifth round and they're going to get a steal from him. I think that Cincinnati is a place that should go after him. I know that they signed Mike Gesicki, but I think they have another tight end there too, but I'd have to look at their depth chart. The name is escaping me. But Theo is a guy who can block and can also be a threat over the middle. Big Theo Johnson guy. I think, like I said, a place like Cincinnati, where he can be more of the blocking guy, but still give them a receiving threat, while Gesicki's basically just a power slot receiver because he can't really block. I think that would be a really good spot for him to go and be a tight end too right off the bat. I think he's going to be really solid at the next level.
Have you guys watched the tight end from Kansas State that was
Ben Sano?
Sano, yeah. They're calling him like a red, like they talk about him like red zone guy, blocker. Like that's literally what people called Travis Kelce before he got drafted. Like,
he was good. He was good in Mobile too at the Senior Bowl. I think that Theo Johnson had a better display, but Sano is going to go higher than what Theo Johnson's going to get drafted.
Yeah. And he played in that kind of physical, like the one thing I'll say about with Sano for Kansas State, Evan, Kansas State with Chris Klieman, they run a very physical run first mobile quarterback. Just kind of like a Brock Purdy type. Like it's a system that like, it's not exactly what Kyle Shanahan's running, but they are a run first physical outpower you. We're not going to do a lot of flash stuff that
so
I think might
strange
translate.
To see that in the Big 12. I just feels so out of place in that conference.
It's well, kind of changing. I mean, the Pac-12 has been more of like the free-flowing offensive conference. Big 12's had some, like Oklahoma State's added a lot of defense. They've been one of the best defensive teams in the country year over year. Texas, before they left, obviously has made the leap. Iowa State, defense first most years. They've had that going. But yeah, no, the Big 12's kind of lost their funness in that regard of late.
Are they still a conference?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's your thing, yeah. But to your point about Theo Johnson, the Niners did draft Jair Brown. the safety from Penn State last year. So they have been looking at, you know, they've been looking at Penn State. They obviously drafted Navarro Bowman back then. So they've had some big draft picks there. So I wouldn't mind it. Give George Kittle help.
He's like one of those, I don't know if you would agree, Jared, it's like, for Evan's sake, I think Theo was like an ultimate boomer bust. He's either really good or he flames out and it doesn't work. I don't think he's a middle of the road guy.
I could agree with that. I think San Francisco would be a good spot for him. I mean, if anybody's going to get that boom out of him, it'll be the Kyle Shanahan offense. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to see him at the next level, though.
There you go. Jared, speaking of the Eagles from earlier, wise of the Eagles to lock up Devontae Smith to a big time extension this offseason?
Yeah, because there's going to be guys that are going to get paid over the next few years, whether that be Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. It's better to get ahead of the market and lock down your guy rather than wait and have to pay a higher premium. Brandon Ayuk can also be thrown into that category too, where it's going to be him, Higgins, Justin Jefferson. Like, there's going to be like these next four or five guys that are all going to get big money. And I also think that I can't remember who said this, so I don't want to take full credit for it, but I love the point that was made. Forgive me if you're listening to this and you're the one who said it. It's not a coincidence that they did this right as CeeDee Lamb made it known that he's not showing up for workouts. So the fact that they get to spite the Cowboys and also drive up the price for CeeDee Lamb, definitely, I think that was very poignant of Howie Roseman to get this done at this time as well. And now, you know, you got AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, your two top targets in the offense, locked up. And this time next year, it's going to look like you got Devontae Smith for a complete steal, because all these guys are going to get paid. Jalen Waddle's also going to be another guy that needs to get paid. So there's going to be like this group of 5-6 guys that are going to get their money. And it's always good to be the first one to pay them, because that just drives up the price for the remaining guys. So Howie Roseman's not dumb. And I think that very smart timing, both because, again, that next, you know, group of guys is going to need to get paid. So being the first is smart. And also the fact that CeeDee Lamb wants money, he's going to look at the Devontae Smith deal. He was going to get more than that anyway, but be like, hey, he just got paid. When are you going to pay me? I ain't showing up until you do. So I think eventually a deal will get done between him and Dallas. And if it doesn't and they end up moving him, whoo, that's going to be a fun story to track, because Dallas has to pay Micah Parsons. They got to pay CeeDee Lamb. This might be Dak Prescott's final year in Dallas. If I have to guess, it's going to be his final year in Dallas. Dallas is going to be very interesting to watch over the next calendar year.
They might have a different coach, different quarterback, a whole lot of different.
It's going to be a completely different look.
I feel like Dak Prescott is the perfect Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback.
People are already putting him in Pittsburgh, man. Look, if things don't work out with if things don't work out with Russ and or Fields, and they don't see if they don't see an immediate future of Russell Wilson, and they don't see a long term future with Justin Fields, Omar Khan has shown that he's willing to make these types of moves. So it's definitely a possibility. Like, I understand why we're forecasting this so far in advance. It makes sense to me too. Again, it comes with the built-in caveat of, okay, do they believe in Justin Fields long-term? Are they going to bring him back? Do they think that Russell Wilson can be the guy for the next couple years? Are they going to bring him back? If none of those guys are the answer, you got a perfectly good Dak Prescott right there. Yeah, I absolutely could see why people would make that connection.
I like it. Evan, which fan base's optimism right now that you've seen on Twitter just feels like this fan base is really, really excited?
The Eagles.
Oh, this is fun.
The Eagles. So you don't get the Eagles fan optimism this offseason. Explain.
Okay. I'm glad you asked. All right. So help me, because I don't think the offseason move tracker is going to show this as well. But like, who's the defensive coordinator for the Eagles right now?
They hired, who was in Miami last year? Why can't I remember his name? Used to be
Vic
the coach
Fangio?
Vic Fangio. Yeah, he's there now.
Yeah.
So,
good addition.
I think it might be the guy might kind of clash a little bit, but so when I look at what they have lost, how do I want to make sure I position this correctly. Every time a team has a big free agent signing that is a skill position player, in this case, like a lot of people are talking about, oh, they signed Saquon Barkley, right? Everyone wants to talk about how they signed Saquon Barkley. That's fine. I think Saquon Barkley, I honestly, genuinely believe that Saquon Barkley is going to have probably his best year, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, as long as he stays healthy, he's got an offensive line that can actually block now. That's fair to assume. If Miles Sanders, another former Penn State running back, and DeAndre Swift can have like the years that they did, I don't see why Saquon couldn't.
I think
I would still probably bet against it though, right? Like the aging running back staying healthy and everything else. I'd probably still bet against Saquon having his best year in Philadelphia.
First and foremost, Jason Kelce is one of the best centers of all time.
Yes.
He's retired. Okay. Fletcher Cox, retired. Those are two just absolute core pieces. When you think about all the things that happened with Sirianni, like the shit talking, like the issues with the defensive coordinator, those are things that you're allowed to get away with when you have core foundational leadership pieces. Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, right? They're gone now. I don't think losing Kevin Byard was like that big of a deal. I think he was a good safety, a decent signing. I think the bringing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back doesn't really do it for me, but like, I just see volatility when I think of the Eagles, and they just lost two massive core pieces that I don't, it's just not going. It's like losing DeForest Buckner and bringing in Javon Kinlaw in the draft, right? You're losing not only the talent, but you're losing the leadership. And Sirianni last year was this just powder keg of childlike bullshit. And I just don't think the team has the talent to really even compete. Like, I genuinely don't think they win double digit wins this year.
I wouldn't go that. Like, my issue with the Eagles too is also Nick Sirianni. I just think that that's just not going to work. In terms of the moves they made, like, I liked a lot of the moves they made. They bring in Bryce Huff, great addition. They bring in Saquon Barkley, very good addition. They bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, very smart addition. They bring in Matt Hennessy, center from Atlanta. You are Atlanta Falcons, Chase Thomas.
Yep.
We'll see how that pans out. They bring in, who else did I miss? Did I miss anybody else?
They brought in Devin White.
Devin White, like, that's the one where, like, I think it'll be fine, but I understand the frustrations with that because their linebackers still aren't very good.
He's going to get cooked.
Pass coverage isn't really there, and their cornerbacks aren't good.
Hold on. So, the 49ers actually lost Tyrion Davis-Price. He's now an Eagle.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so the biggest issues with the Eagles right now is that their linebackers and corners aren't good. And
their offensive line and defensive line just lost two massive pieces. Davis
Kelce,
is great, though.
Kelce, I understand, but Fletcher Cox is also, 35? Like, it's not as if he was still one of the premier guys in the NFL. I don't think Fletcher Cox is going to be, like, on-field-wise, I don't think he's going to be, like, a massive, massive loss.
Chase, do you think Jordan Davis, does he, like, get better? Or does he just play the way he's been playing? Like,
I just don't think he's someone who's going to, he's a very large human. He's very disruptive when he's on the field, but I don't think he's going to be a three down defensive stopper. There's a reason Jalen Carter is going to be way more of a difference maker in the interior for Philadelphia than Jordan Davis. I think Jordan Davis is just a rotation guy that you hope can help, and against the run, especially.
He's a very two down defensive line. Yes. And I don't think he's a three down guy.
No, he will never be on the field and then third down, I think, in the NFL.
Like I said, my biggest thing with Philadelphia is that their corners aren't good. Like, Bradbury was bad last year. Darius Slay is getting old. But they don't address the position in the draft. You know,
they should draft Quinyon Mitchell. They should do something like that.
They absolutely should. We'll see if they decide to do that.
History says no.
History does say no. So we'll see how they continue to address the issue at linebacker. And if they do
draft
anything,
another Georgia linebacker, they're starting two this year.
Exactly. So those are my biggest concerns. And obviously Sirianni. Like, I just think that a guy like that who's constantly just, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like an attention whore, I just don't think that that's good for them to have up top. I like Jalen
Hurts.
Well, he
hasn't won less than, so he went 9-8 his first year, 14-3, obviously the Super Bowl year, and 11-6 last year. Doug Peterson, his final year in Philly, they finished fourth in 2020 when they went 4-11-1. I was going back through because I was curious when Evan's talking about like them winning less than double digit games, because it feels like Philadelphia has quietly mostly been 9 wins or more seasons than not.
Let me pull up their opponents real quick just so I can have them in front of me and see what that looks like.
I mean, they really really only did well when they had an unbelievable roster and Jalen Hurts playing well. And most people don't think
I would still say
going to continue to play at that level.
Yeah. They've only missed the playoffs 1 year in the last seven, and that was the COVID year.
I think that Hurts is, I think we overestimated like how great he was in the 14-3 year. I think he came back down to earth a little bit. Still a good quarterback though. I'd say yeah. A top 10 guy. Their opponents this year, obviously the divisional opponents will play Dallas, the Giants, and the Commanders. At home, they have Cleveland, Atlanta, Carolina, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Pittsburgh. That is a hell of a gauntlet because Green Bay, I don't think they're beating Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to be really good. I think Atlanta is going to be really good. Cleveland's defense isn't going to be an easy opponent to steamroll. Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence. We'll see with Pittsburgh. And then away, Tampa Bay, the Rams, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Saints. That's a tough schedule, man. Like looking at this in front of me, if they went 9-8, wouldn't shock me either.
You guys,
I mean, 9-8 still might be a playoff team.
They could be like the 6 or 7 seed.
I don't know.
I think the NFC is going to be better this year. Like we talked about, Green Bay, I think, is winning the NFC North, but Detroit's still going to be very much a playoff team. I think the Rams are still going to be right in this thing as well. So the NFC is going to be deeper than what it was the past couple of seasons. If I can weigh in on this, by the way, the question that you asked, I think that the Baltimore Ravens have the most just absurd expectations. And I wrote about it a few weeks ago on USA Today. I think that window's closed, man. I think that last year was the best opportunity they're going to have.
I don't know about all that.
Oh, I think that you look at how much Mike McDonald and that defense did for that team last year in terms of their big blowout wins. Because that was the big talking point last year. It's like, oh my goodness, they beat the hell out of Seattle. They beat the hell out of Detroit. They beat the hell out of the 49ers. What happened in all of those games? The defense had several takeaways to set up the offense in great position. What happened when the defense couldn't do that? What happened when they asked Lamar Jackson to throw to win the game? They couldn't do it. Mike McDonald's now gone now. Hold on. Mike McDonald's now gone. Patrick Queen and Geno Stone both left for division rivals. And who the hell is Lamar going to be throwing the ball to other than Zay Flowers? Mark Andrews is getting older and getting hurt.
That's your mistake.
Rashad Bateman.
That's your mistake. Lamar Jackson is not running or is not throwing the ball. He is going to be running the ball to Derrick Henry.
That's cool, man. If a 30-year-old running back is what you're banking your future on, be my guest.
No, we're talking this year. Give Derrick Henry the respect he deserves to play football with the best quarterback he's ever played with and maybe what is probably the last prime year of his life. That's all
we
I'm
say
saying.
That, but Derrick Henry. I think we've seen
the last prime year.
But my point is like we need to at least give him that he will have a prime year this year. I think the Ravens I think the biggest thing is the losing the defensive coordinator to Seattle. Yeah. Obviously, that's a huge loss. But I do think that Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think that Lamar Jackson's a very good regular season quarterback. Until I see it in the playoffs.
So he's kind of to you. He's like the Josh Allen of the NFC. Or AFC.
Because I think Allen's far better than Lamar Jackson.
Well, you just said like regular season quarterbacks.
Although Josh Allen has three more playoff wins, including one over Lamar Jackson.
Don't worry.
I've got the numbers in the back of my head. I've had this argument plenty of times. Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, 0-4 when his opponents score more than 13 points. Like this is,
but listen,
the Ravens lean on their defense a hell of a lot more than they'd care to admit.
But that's all. That's like saying the Steelers lean on their defense, man. These are defensive football teams. That's
cool,
their
man. But when I'm constantly told that Lamar Jackson is so great, I expect you to win games if your opponent scores 14 points. This is a guy who's supposed to be a 2-time MVP that I'm told is so great. I'm not saying he's not good. But the overhyping that Lamar Jackson consistently gets is baffling. It's
okay.
Let's just say this.
You guys have seen obviously the great movie with Bruce Willis, Unbreakable, right?
No.
What are you talking about? You haven't seen Unbreakable with Bruce? Samuel Jackson is the wearing the purple suit in the wheelchair.
Are you thinking about Live Free or Die Hard?
No, my God. Okay. How about this? Have you seen Hancock with Will Smith?
Can't say I have.
Yes, but I saw it in theaters, I think. Jesus Christ.
These are like two of the most watched movies. Anyway,
no, Hancock was not good. It was not worth it. No.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they sneeze and they draft a top three wide receiver. They are just constantly adding the best receiver in the NFL. The Ravens are the opposite. The Ravens have not been able to get quality receivers for a very long time. They have drafted constantly over and over receivers that have not panned out. And all I'm saying is I think this is the first year that they have accepted that and gone, we're going to go get Derrick Henry. We're not going to worry about the receivers anymore. We're going to go get Derrick Henry, and you're going to have to stop Lamar and Derrick Henry, and he'll just continue to throw to Mark Andrews.
That's cool, man. Eventually in the playoffs, you got to make some throws. And that was very much proven against Kansas City, and it was very much proven that he couldn't do it.
Kansas City's a powerhouse, man. As long as Kansas
City. But he also, just because he hasn't done it yet, doesn't mean he won't do it later. If he stays healthy, he keeps getting opportunities.
Until I see it, though, I'm not going to keep. I'm going to keep going off of what history tells me, and that's that he's a guy that comes up short in the biggest games.
Fair enough. Final thing here on tonight's show, Bailey's best. Best new starting running back in the league will be who next year?
In terms of like running backs with their new teams?
It could be new teams. It could be like you think this running back is going to get drafted and he's going to be a starter, day one starter on his team. Who do you think will be the best new starting running back in the league?
Well, we talked about Saquon Barkley. I think that that's like an easy one to pinpoint in terms of what he's going to do. I'll tell you what, I'll go out of left field. I don't know if he'll be like the best, but I'm excited to see a Brian Callahan offense with a Tony Pollard, Tyjae Spears duo. Mm. I think that that could be kind of fun, especially with, you know, the addition of Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins like quietly. Like I completely respect what the Titans have done this offseason in terms of like, hey, We're gonna at least give Will Levis all the tools to be successful and prove to us that he is. You know, we're not gonna treat this with kid gloves. We're gonna go all in. We're gonna give him everything that he needs to succeed. And if he does, then cool, we might have a guy. If he doesn't, then it's very clear that we don't have a guy. So I think that Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard could be very fun. I think that Zach Moss in Cincinnati with Chase Brown could be very fun. Because remember last year when Jonathan Taylor was hurt, Zach Moss led the NFL in rushing at one point. I think that that's going to be quietly like an upgrade for the Bengals from Zach Moss to Joe, or from Joe Mixon to Zach Moss. So yeah, there's a few guys. I mean, Joe Mixon in Houston could be fun.
I got some answers.
Okay.
I'm curious. So I do think it's funny though that Saquon Barkley was the biggest, like, you know, you think about that a lot, right? And we talked obviously about Derrick Henry just now, but when we think of the Eagles and what they were at their peak when they competed for the Super Bowl, to me, that is quietly kind of what the Packers are looking like this year when they brought in Josh Jacobs.
Oh, that's a good shout. That's a very good shout. Yes.
So
very good shout.
You have a ascending quarterback in Green Bay, and they bring in Josh Jacobs, who's 1 year removed from being the most productive running back in the NFL.
I'm going to say something so fun, but continue.
I do think in the NFC, I do think Josh Jacobs is probably my answer. And even though I love Derrick Henry and I'm excited for him to play with Lamar, I think like Jarrett mentioned in the AFC, it's gotta be Joe Mixon, even though he's a piece of shit, Joe Mixon, when he's not assaulting women, Joe Mixon for the Houston Texans. I mean, literally, like, all jokes aside, and that's not a joke, he is a piece of shit. CJ Stroud is just, he is just undeniable. He's a powerhouse. He's just everything you want in a quarterback, especially in 2024. And I just love it. I think sometimes they take too long to get their, you know, their really exciting rookie quarterbacks good weapons. And I just, everything the Texans has done since CJ came in there last, they're just not messing around. They're just going for it. And I love it. I'm so excited to watch the Texans this year.
We Texans Packers is the Super Bowl we deserve next year. I'm on.
I understand where you're coming from. They just can't beat the Niners in the playoffs. They'll never be able to do it. It's not going to happen.
I'll give you a ballsy.
They might avoid him though.
Hold on. I'll give you a ballsy take right now. I know it's ahead of the draft and everything, but as of right now, Green Bay Packers, number one seed in the NFC 2024.
Hmm.
I get it. It's not crazy, but listen, man.
I'm ready for it.
I just don't think you can say out loud that the Packers are going to do anything. You can't at this point, like, oh, the Packers are going to be, like, until they beat the Niners, like, everyone needs to just be quiet, because the Niners are still probably the team to beat in the NFC.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, regular season wise, seeing what Love did last year, he was second in the NFL in touchdown passes in his first year as a starter. By the way, I believe his top nine pass catchers at either wide receiver or tight ends were either rookies or in their second year. That's unheard of. And the fact that we've seen, you know, Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, Romeo Dubs, Christian Watson, like, he's got four solid guys there at receiver that have, like, consistent, like, all play a certain role, getting Josh Jacobs. I didn't necessarily like the way that Aaron Jones left. By the way, Aaron Jones in Minnesota, I think he's going to be a very good addition to the Vikings. But getting Josh Jacobs, I mean, that's a hell of a, I mean, at very least, that's a lateral move. At the very best, it's an upgrade. Defensively, they've added a couple safeties in free agency to help out the back end, which was their biggest weakness last year. They got rid of their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. I think that Green Bay is going to be very good. Matt LaFleur proved that he doesn't need Aaron Rodgers to win, doesn't need Aaron Rodgers to be a very good coach. I'm looking forward to seeing Jordan Love year two as a starter. Wouldn't shock me if he led the NFL in touchdown passes. It's going to be, like I said, Texans, Packers, dream Super Bowl. Obviously, I want my Lord and Savior Josh Allen to get to one. But there's so many fun guys in the AFC. And now, you know, in the NFC, Jordan Love could be that next guy in line to eventually be the best quarterback in the conference. Yeah, going to be a lot of fun this year. I'm very much in on the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting. I like it. Well, that's all I've got here tonight. Jarrett, what can the good folks check out from you all across the internet this week?
Yeah, by the time this podcast comes out, I sat down with Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu, which is very good. That written piece will be on USA Today. I'll drop the video as well on YouTube later on this week on the Pump Fake. We talked about Ty Dunn in the show. Ty Dunn will be joining me on Thursday on the Pump Fake. So that'll be a good conversation with him. One of my favorite dudes. He's terrific. And yeah, I shot him a text. I was like, dude, why have we not done anything together? He's like, yeah, let's change that. So very much looking forward to talking to Ty Dunn. Going to be a good time on Thursday on the Pump Fake. What else do I have coming? Projects that I can't.
Every time you text a guy and say, why haven't we done something together? You do a podcast. Every time I text something, why haven't we done something to a guy? I get arrested. It's not fair.
I'm trying.
I knew there was going to be. I didn't know where that was going. I just knew.
Any other projects that I have either haven't released yet, or I'm not going to speak into the universe now until they're complete. I'm going to hold off on that.
I feel that.
The feature of Jamari Thrash will also be out with it before draft day. Receiver from Louisville, also very good sit down. So lots of stuff from me, and then continued coverage USA Today, Behind the Steel Curtain, and then the Pump Fake as well. So keep along with it.
Chase, real quick.
What's up, man?
I have been gone, so maybe you haven't said anything, but I would like an update on how the new job is going.
It's great. I love TPL Tennessee. It's been fun. I get to write about something I care about and I'm very passionate about every day. Getting to just the insight and the opportunity to do this is fun, man. It's definitely like the right fit for me and where I'm at here in Knoxville. And you guys know my passion for Tennessee and Atlanta sports. So for me to be able to cover Tennessee and all of Tennessee athletics each and every day. And we got some big stuff planned for this summer and this fall that I'm very excited about for a lot of ways. I'm excited to share this summer and fall, but no, it's been great. I go subscribe to TPL Tennessee and TPL as a whole. If you have not already done so, with Georgia, Tennessee fans and Clemson now in the boat. So we continue to grow a little bit more each day, but yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I love it.
Good for you, man. Happy for you.
I appreciate that. Well, Evan Swords, Jarrett Bailey, always a pleasure. And I will talk to y'all next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.